You are listening to a message from Victory. We hope it inspires you to honor God and make disciples in your community.
Today we are on our week 2 of our The God Nobody Wants, all right? And our topic for today is quite controversial because we'll talk about the God who is jealous, ang selosong Diyos. Right? Sino sa inyo dito seloso kayo by nature? Huwag niyo nataas kamay niyo. Okay. Kita naman eh. And, all right. But yung iba sa atin dito, di ba, medyo the jealous type tayo. Lalo na pagdating sa mga boyfriend, girlfriend nyo, or sa Mr. or Mrs. nyo. Minsan, we're the jealous type. But before we jump to jealousy, let me just review our preaching last week because we'll tie it up to today. And last week, we talked about the holiness of God. And we're in, a lot of us think that we can choose the God that we want. The problem with choosing the God that we want and having or picturing or worshiping a God of our own choosing is that it makes us God and not the God that we want to worship. Parang ikaw yung nagiging Diyos. Na kaya mong gumawa na sarili mong Diyos. Gusto mo si God, God of love, pero ayaw mo si God, holy God. Kasi pag holy si God, masusunog ka. Diba? And so, gusto mong pumili ng mga characteristics niya, yun yung gusto mong mga nature niya, pero pagdating sa mga iba na medyo mahirap, which like last week, talked about the holiness of God. But the problem is, if you think on the holiness of God, you can never understand God's love for you. Because until you see the magnitude and the glorious holiness of God, you can never really say, you can never experience the good news that God is actually love. That in spite of His holiness, He reached down to us, even though we were so unholy, and even though He cannot look at us because of our unholiness, He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sin, and therefore we can experience the love of God. And when we hear preachings like this, sometimes kasi feeling natin, that's why a lot of people, they don't want God, is because they just want God to take control, but they never want God to be in control. Ibig sabihin, sa buhay, pagka medyo out of control na, nagpipray na tayo, Lord, please take over. But when, once it settles, we actually are in control again and we take God out of the picture. Parang lagi lang emergency si Lord. Kaya nga, di ba, sabi nila, pag may mga exams or may mga problema sa buhay, dumadami yung church. Pag nagka-earthquake, lumindol, nagka-bagyo, the next week, punong-puno yung simbahan. Bakit? Kasi we want God to take control, but once it settles, we're back to our old ways and we are in control of our own lives. The prayer that we want for you to get really and to pray is that God, don't just take control, but Lord, be in control of my life. In every season of my life, whether good times or bad times, Lord, be in control because the God that nobody wants is actually the God that we actually need. Can't live without this God. And so that's our week one. And today, we're going to look at the jealousy of God, right? Sabi nila na may two kinds of jealousy. Yung tinatawag nating bad jealousy at saka yung good jealousy. Okay? Ang maraming experience natin is actually based on bad jealousy. Kaya nga tanong ko kanina, sino sa inyo dito seloso? Kasi ako dati, lagi akong nagseselos. Lalo na nung girlfriend ko na si Tammy, pag may mga lumalapit sa kanya minsan, nagsiselos ako. Pero pagka hindi naman, pag mas gwapo ako, hindi ako masyado nagsiselos. Pero pag mas gwapo, tapos kinakausap, bakit ganun, di ba? It's actually bad jealousy, number one, because it's based on my insecurity. It's based on something negative that I have. That God was dealing with my insecurity and my fear that I might lose her. But then, I had no right to actually be jealous because I'm not yet married to her. In short, we had no covenant. There's no binding agreement or contract or in the scripture what we call covenant, which is deeper than a contract, for me to actually get jealous nung nililigawan ko pa siya. Pero marami nga sa atin, di ba? Seloso, selosa, nililigawan pa lang, nagseselos na. Your suitor has no right to even get jealous. Ibig sabihin, kasi walang agreement pa eh. Hindi naman kayo pumasok sa isang commitment unless kung fiancé mo na yan at ready na kayo for marriage. Pero pag hindi pa, there's no grounds for even getting jealous. Or yung iba naman, may kapitbahay ka, you have one car, your neighbor has three cars, and then they always blare the radio just to show off to the neighbor that they have three cars, and here you are, you go back to your house, and you gather your family and say, let's believe God for a second car, but your main motive is jealousy. And it's bad because The motivation behind it is actually insecurity, selfishness, pride, or if not, fear. So kung meron kayong mga ano ba tawag dito, emotions or feeling of jealousy that is based on this, it's actually bad jealousy. Now, there's also what we call good jealousy. Example, good jealousy. I'm married. Example to, example. Hindi pa to nangyari ever sa amin. Okay? But example, I'm married. I see Tammy one time. A guy is advancing sa wife ko. You know naman my wife. So beautiful. A lot of men advance because they think she's single. Because she's hot and she's everything. All right. And so, a guy advances. Now, there's no ground for jealousy there. A guy advances. But, when she, okay, would reciprocate the flirting, there is grounds for me to get jealous. Why? Because we are in a covenant. We're married. We're committed. I'm your husband. That's not your husband. That's a flirtatious man. Okay? That needs to be kicked out of the church and sent to hell right now. All right? So, there's grounds for jealousy. And the other way around, right? When I flirt with other women and she sees that, she has the right to point it out and say, that is not right. And you've got to repent of your ways or else. Okay? That's ground for good jealousy because we are in marriage. We are in covenant. Meron tayong agreement. Kasal tayo. Right? And so, those are good jealousy. And God, the same way, is jealous. And when people hear that, diba? Si God, seloso. In fact, 3 times he mentioned in the Old Testament that he is a jealous God. Some of us, we can't comprehend. God yan, tapos magsiselo siya. Parang di naman Diyos yan, ang arte naman. Right? And we think, is that really biblical that God can actually be jealous? Right? Were we saying, he is jealous for me? Why would he even say that? And we'll look at that today in our text. Our text would be basically in just Exodus 34. And as what I said, there are 3 mentions in the Old Testament where he says, I'm a jealous God. But we'll just look at one and I'll make mention of the others later on. In Exodus 34, verse 6, it says, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and to the fourth generation. Now, let me give you the background of this text. Ang background nito was, the Israelites, Moses went out Mount Sinai because God wanted to give Moses the Ten Commandments. So when Moses came up, as you all know the story, they made the party down there and they made a golden calf. Okay? In Tagalog, guya. Okay? Guya chocolate ba? Okay, gawa sa chocolate. Okay, so they made an image of a golden calf and they started getting all their treasures and they started throwing it into the furnace to make this idol. And so when God was communing with Moses, God says, Moses, you have to go down. Something's happening down there. And when Moses came down, sobrang siyang galit, di ba? Binato niya yung Ten Commandments na tablet, di ba? So Moses broke the Ten Commandments all at the same time. All right? And he got so mad, God got so mad because of what was happening. Because they were worshiping another God and not the God who is God. All right? So that's the background. But in spite of their idolatry and their prostitution to other gods, the Lord says, I'm a gracious God. I'm a God who's slow to anger. I'm a God abounding in love and mercy. I'm a God who can forgive. Grabe, no? He was explaining his very nature. He said, this is who I am. But if you're not, okay, but if you are not going to accept this love, I'm telling you there will be consequences. Consequence is when you start to follow sin, it would visit generations upon generations from the third to the fourth generation. That's why you would see normally, high probability, if there are parents or ancestors who had broken marriages,
It goes down the line. You don't plan for that. But because it is the culture of the family, the children, the next generation sees it and think it's normal and it happens there. And the consequences of the sin of the ancestor or the parents is passed on. That's why as Christians, you need to tap into the grace of God and say, no, this will end in my line. I will have a strong marriage. I will not get into divorce. I will not commit adultery. I'll be faithful to my wife because I want my kids to have a good biblical model of what family should be. It stops here in the name of Jesus. You've got to declare that or else the sin visits generations.
Kaya makita mo, pati sa pera, ganon. Pag magulo yung pera sa taas, nagkakaaway-away. Pasa yan sa mga anak, sa mga pinsan, nag-aaway. Hanggang buong generation, nag-aaway dahil lang sa pera.
It's passed on. There's consequences to the sins that we have. And God says, if you don't worship me, if you, in spite of my nature, and you don't worship me, these things would happen. Out of love, I don't want you to go that route. I want you to stop the sin in your line, and I want you to worship me. Israel rebelled against God, but God reminds Moses of who he is. So when God was reminding Moses, so that was the background, idolatry, and God says, I'm a gracious God. I'm a loving God. I'm a merciful God. Verse 8, Moses bowed to the ground at once and worship, O Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes, he said, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us as your inheritance. Moses prayed and said, God, sorry for the sins of my people. Sorry for my sins. Lord, we know we're stiff-necked. We're wicked and we take you for granted. But Lord, may you take us as your inheritance. So Moses describes who we actually are. Stiff-necked people. Di ba? Ibig sabihin, nakalimutan mo kung saan ka nanggaling. Di ba? Hindi ka makalingon dahil masakit. Stiff-necked. That's what it means. You don't know where you came from. How much God loves you. And Moses was saying, Lord, sorry, we're stiff-necked people. We forgot that you took us out of Egypt. And you want us to go to the promised land. And that was the great plan that you have. That actually in 40 days we could go to the promised land. But because of our rebellion, it is prolonged to 40 years. We're stiff-necked people. We can't go back. Lord, please forgive us and do something. And here's what the Lord says. When Moses prayed that. Verse 10. Then the Lord said, I'm making a covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders. Never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Now let me explain again. Let me repeat the story. They worship. Made the golden calf. Worship it. God says, this is my nature. I don't want you to go there because of my love for you. It will destroy you when you worship idols. And Moses says, yes, Lord, we're stiff-necked. We're wicked people. We take you for granted. And so what's the plan, Lord? What will you do? And the Lord says, sige, let's enter into a covenant. In layman's term, let's get married. May ganun ba kayong experience? Nahuli mo yung boyfriend mo? Nag-three timer? Dala, tatlo-tatlo yung mga babae. Tapos sabi mo sa kanya, bakit ka ganun? Grabe ka. Sinaktan mo puso ko. Lagyan mo ng posporo. Di ba? And you say all this stuff and your boyfriend comes to you and says, I'm sorry, please, please forgive me. It won't happen. Okay, let's get married. Do you do that? No, you don't do that. You first slap him. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Di ba? Kick him and then punch him in the neck. Pack. Right? You do that first and you'll think about it, right? It means what you did was so bad. Wouldn't even imagine marrying you. You're not only two-timer, you're 3, 4-timer. Why would I enter into a covenant with you? And that's what precisely the Lord did to the Israelites. We're stiff-necked, we're wicked people. God says, okay, let's make a covenant. What? A covenant, as what I said, is not a contract. It goes deeper than a contract. A covenant is something that is, if you could encapsulate it, it's called a one-way love. It is based on the mercy of God and not on our works. When God enters into a covenant with us, ibig sabihin, hindi dahil mabait tayo, kundi ang bait niya, sabi niya, sige, kahit ganun kayo, let's enter into covenant. I want to marry you. I want the church to be my bride. I want to shower my love to you that all the nations will see how awesome I am when you're with me. Imagine that. But Lord, I'm adulterous. Yeah, I know, but let's get married. Come on, let's do this. Parang ganun si Lord. Imagine mo yung love niya. So yung mga taong nakarinig niyan, di ba? Pag kami gumawa sa inyo yan, anong feeling? Oh, I'm so touched. Di ba? Why would you do that? Oh, I'm not worthy. Di ba? Gumaganon ka pa. Sinasaktan mo muna sarili. All right. Di ba? Because you know, you're unworthy of that kind of love. Now, for us to fully understand covenant, let me read to you a book that I read to my kids every night. It's called Thoughts to Make Your Heart Sing. Right? Because when I want to go deep in my preaching, I go back to children's books, right? And actually I read this a lot, especially this book, The Thoughts to Make My Heart Sing, and this is our devotion with our kids before they go to sleep. And there's a picture, this is the sample, okay? It's actually just a very short reading that we do every night. And one night, we were talking about the covenant of God. It's actually a good book. And so, it explains what covenant is for a five-year-old to understand what covenant. Sino sa inyo dito naintindihan yung covenant? Ano yun? Convent? Covenant, okay? Now, let me explain to you what covenant is. And I'll read it here so you will fully appreciate what covenant is. A covenant, and I share this with my daughters, right? And I got it. Okay, when I shared it to them. Right? A covenant in the Bible was an unbreakable contract written not in ink, but in blood. You'd kill an animal and say, if I don't keep my promise, let me die like this animal. That was the Old Testament times. Dadala ka ng kambing, ng pato, ng kalapate. Pag may kasalanan ka, and you're making a vow before the Lord, I will not sin again or else I'll be the next sacrifice. God made a covenant like that with His children. And said, I will always love you. We were supposed to promise, we will always love you too, Jesus. But we ran from God and broke our side of the contract. And the law called for our deaths. And yet, God spared us. How? Did He just ignore the law? No. God Himself kept our side of the covenant for us. And in Jesus died instead of us. God's promise to always love us is written in the blood of His Son. Matthew 26:26. Jesus said, this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and His people. Right? You understand the covenant? It's one-way love. It's a love we cannot explain that in spite of us breaking covenant with God, He chose to love us. It's a one-way love that actually transforms Christians from becoming legalistic or living in sin into people living under the grace of God, and it transforms every relationship that they have. If we understand the covenant. Covenant is one way. I was conducting a wedding one time, and my topic was about the covenant. You give a sermonette during weddings. And so I said, a covenant is one-way love. It's a one-way, never-ending, forever love to your spouse. It means whether it gets reciprocated or not, I will give you one-way, never-ending, forever love. And husband, you do that to your wife. Wife, you do that to your husband. It's actually nice. It becomes two-way, right? But whether for better or for worse, when days He won't give the love, I hold on to God's love to give that one-way, forever, never-ending love to my spouse. So after I shared, I went down and I was with one of the principal sponsors who was actually a very famous singer in the country, a veteran singer in the country. And he says, "Pastor, I have a question with your message." He says, "I think there's something wrong in your point." I said, "What's wrong with my point?" He says, "Love cannot be one way. Love is two way." "Yeah, I know. But the covenant of God is one way. And if we're saying we're Christians, it's a one way, forever, never ending love." "Yeah, but one way, and then the other is one way. So it's two way." "No, it's one way. No, it's two way. No, it's one way." So marunong ka pa sa akin. Ako nag-prepare na.
Hindi ko na sinabi. Sa utak ko na lang yun. Okay.
But in short, he cannot comprehend the one-way, never-ending, forever love of God. Because for him, when God loves, we must love back. And it's true. We need to love back. I'm not saying I hate God. I love God. But can we really love like how the Lord loves us? Now, that's the hard part. That's why there's grace. Because we're fallen people who live under the grace of God. And the only way for marriages to thrive as I enter into a covenant is that whether he or she reciprocates, I will love that person. It's hard, no? That's why we always say in marriage, love does not keep the marriage alive. The covenant keeps the love alive. Okay, ulitin ko, ha? It's not the love that keeps the marriage alive, it's the covenant that keeps the love alive. That's why people say, "I fall in love and I've fallen out of love." Why? Because it's the world's view of love. When he doesn't reciprocate, I have every right to say, "I don't love you anymore." Because you're not, it's not give and take. It's I keep on giving and I'm so selfless already. I'm tired of this. I'm quitting. Imagine if God would say that to us. "I'm tired of this one way, forever, never ending love because of your rebellion." But instead, God says to the Israelites, "Sige, nag-worship kayo ng golden calf? Okay, nag-sorry kayo? Okay, sige, covenant tayo. Pasok ako dyan. Kahit alam ko kung anong capability mo mangaliwa. I'll get there. I'll go in." Okay? And so, that's the kind of love that God has. It's a one-way love. Right? Look at your seatmate. Okay? Now, if it's your spouse or your fiancé, your girlfriend, give them a sweet look and says, "It's a one-way love, babe." Okay. Tapos balikan mo siya, sabi mo, "Oink, oink." All right. Verse 11. And so, I'm establishing first the nature of the covenant. The nature of God's covenant is of mercy and of love and not of works. And then he says in verse 11, "Obey what I command you today. I will drive out before you the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites." In short, they're parasites. It's true, right? He says, this group of people would suck the love of God out of you. If you partner with these people, it will destroy you. It would lead you to death. It would cut you to pieces. It would take away your undivided love for God because you're partnering with these people. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you're going, or they will be a snare among you. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and cut down their Asherah poles. Sabi ni Lord, don't even think about going there. In fact, if you have some possessions within you that is idolatrous, take it out, smash it, cut it off, excommunicate it, destroy it, burn it to ashes. You don't want to do anything with that. It was out of love and concern that he was saying this. Meron ba kayong mga ganong kaibigan? Yung mga kaibigan na pwede kayong diretsuhin kahit mahirap? Dahil alam nila mas makakabuti sa'yo. Kasi mas marami tayong mga kaibigan na, naku, wag na lang kasi kaibigan ko siya, baka ma-offend eh.
okay nang mamatay siya, pero baka ma-offend kasi. Ayoko na. O na yan, papasukan niya yan. Ay, nako. Di ko nga alam, ang eng-eng. Pero di ko masabi eh. Baka ma-offend siya. Si God, hindi. Sabi ni God, hindi. Huwag dyan ka pumunta, nako. Sira buhay mo dyan. So God was giving them a guideline already. Take those parasites out of your life. They'll do you harm than good. Look at me. Nobody loved you. I made a commitment to love you forever, one way, never ending, forever love. Not only is that, but if you obey me, I'll show the whole world the wonder and the awesomeness of this God. Grabe yung promise, no? If you stick with me and you're committed to me, you'll be so blessed beyond imagination. But if you choose to go there, it's your choice. The sins that you commit with those people will visit generations upon generations in your line. So what was God doing? God was defining the nature of our relationship as covenantal. Na yung relationship natin, hindi contract na sinasign, kundi covenant. Sinabi niya, papasok ako dito, hindi na ako lalabas dito. Kahit ano man mangyari, hindi ako lalabas. When si Christian at saka si Ai, when they got married, they entered into a covenant. May nagtanong sa akin this week, no, sa Forum Spring, okay lang raw ba yung mga Christians mag-prenup? Sabi ko kung pictorial, pwede. Okay? Pero ewan ko yung agreement, no? Now, there's, I don't know any biblical, but I stand on the principle that when I get married, there's no option of divorce. No, I'm entering into a covenant. Whether you reciprocate it or not, that's why there's wedding vows. Then what did we do if there's no wedding vows? It means there's always a way out. Prenup is standing on the foundation that there's actually a way out of this. Right? You've got to burn everything that would make you quit in a covenant, into what covenant you've entered into. The will of the Lord is to love the one that you married, not to have an option out, to opt out of this. E paano na paglokoy na? Kaya nga pumili mabuti habang single. Huwag basta-basta sino na nakita nyo. Yeah. Yung iba kasi, kumukuha kayo sa bar. Gulat kayo pag umaga, ganun pala itsura nun. Okay? Eh, gabi yun eh. Hindi mo makita ugali, hindi mo makita itsura. Di ba? Totoo, ingat. Ingat talaga. Ibig sabihin, huwag kang papasok sa isang bagay na hindi ka handa. Right? Because when you get in there, you're in. There's no opt-out. Right? Now, I'm not also saying, now some of you, you're married and your husband is philandering. I've got a message for, God has a message for the adulterers later. But later na yon. So God was defining the nature of the relationship as covenantal. What he's saying is, this is the idea of being married. Okay? He's saying, I am your God, you are my people. Diyos niyo ako, tao kayo. We are married. We're not MU. Hindi tayo mag-own. Hindi to mutual understanding. We're married. We're not living in. We're not checking this out. Let me check out if you're a good Christian or not. Because if you're not, you know, hindi to Santa Claus. Walang you better watch out. You better not. No, no. He's saying, no, we're married. I'm entering into a covenant with you. We belong to one another. One plus one equals me and you. Alright? It means I'm committed to you. I love you forever and ever and ever. And I save you, I rescue you, I deliver you, I redeem you from slavery and from sin. This is the nature of our relationship. I am yours and you're mine. What God was actually saying is, if you want me to love you more, I cannot love you anymore. Because I've loved you fully. I've given you everything. Wala ka nang hingin pa sa akin. Binigay ko na lahat. All of me I've given to you. That's why he says, don't go the route of worshiping idols. Why? They'll give you empty promises. They'll tell you this and they'll entice you with short-term success. But there's always a payoff. Don't go that route because of my love for you. Please don't go that route. Verse 14, do not worship any other god.
For the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Madalawang beses pa inulit yung jealous. No? For the Lord whose nature is jealous, because of His love and mercy, He's jealous. His name is actually jealous God. Be careful. Again, He repeats it. Not to make a treaty with those who live in the land, for when they prostitute themselves to their gods and sacrifice them, they will invite you and you will eat their sacrifices. And when you choose some of their daughters as wives for your son, and those daughters prostitute themselves to their gods, they will lead your sons to do the same. Do not make cast idols. God is not jealous like an insecure employer who fears that his employee might get a better job outside. God's jealousy is not a reflex of weakness or fear. Instead, God's jealousy is like a powerful, merciful king who takes a poor girl, washes her, cleans her up, forgives her, marries her, and gives her not the chores of a slave, but make her her queen. That's the kind of love that God has. His jealousy does not rise from fear or weakness, but from a holy indignation of having His honor and power and mercy scorned by the faithlessness of a fickle spouse. What that means is, example, gadget tayo. Direktor ako ng Samsung sa Pilipinas. Binigyan ko si JC ng Samsung Notebook. Okay? Notebook, okay. Hindi, ng Samsung Note 2, Note 3. Pagkuha ni JC, pag-uwi niya, nagpalit siya ng t-shirt, naglagay siya ng Apple na shirt, meron siyang icon ni Steve Jobs, tapos nag-selfie siya with the Samsung. Tapos sabi niya, "Thank you, Mac, for my new phone." How would it make me feel that I gave him something so wonderful, better than iPhone? Okay? I give it to him and he thanks iPhone for it. How would you feel? Yeah? Hurts. Competitor ko yan. Or another example could be, you know, asawa mo, pinakasalan mo, walang pumapansin sa kanya sa school. Pinakasalan mo dahil mahal mo siya. Pinaganda mo, pinabelo mo, ginawa mo lahat. Di ba? Sa parlor every week, ganda-ganda. Nung gumanda, wala na sa bahay. Sa kapitbahay na kasi daw, love your neighbor. Okay. Di na umuwi sa'yo, anong feeling? Anong feeling? Ha? Hindi lang sad, di ba? Parang, sakit na na. Sulto to. I have a right to be jealous. Why? I married you. I love you. This guy love you because Bello changed your face. But I know your face. I know who you are. I know your good and bad side. But I chose to love you. Parang ganun. So he said, "We are in covenant with one another. I'm your God, you're my people, we're committed to each other. So don't worship things that you can make with your own hands." Yun yung ibig sabihin ng do not make cast idols. Kasi ngayon, hindi na masyado uso yung mga rebulto, no? Alam ko meron pa rin sa mas older generation, pero yung mga Facebook generation, hindi na, wala ka na nakitang nagsiselfie na kasama yung idol, di ba? Wala na. Right? Though big deal to sa mga magulang at lolo-lola natin, iba na yung idol ng next generation eh. Hindi na masyado yung mga rebulto. Hindi na carved images. But rather, it's their career, it's their looks, it's the money, you know, it's the ambition that is not godly, it's the power that they long for. Idolatry means you make something good the ultimate thing. Maraming bagay sa mundo, okay naman eh. But when we make it the ultimate, becomes idols. Okay naman magkapera eh. Sino gusto ng pera? Bibigay ako eh. Sino gusto? Alright? Di ba?
Bakit? Okay naman pera eh. Hindi nga okay kung walang pera eh. Pero pag yung ginawa mong ultimate, becomes an idol.
When you worship God to get money, it becomes an idol. When you do things and base all your decision because of finances and not God and not faith, it becomes an idol. Marriage is a good thing. But sometimes we make it into an idol. Di ako complete. Pag single ako, dapat married ako para complete. You're making it the ultimate thing. That's why you're devastated when you marry a person who you think is not the right person. Because you made it an idol. It's not the ultimate thing. Your kids are not the ultimate thing. Your business is not your ultimate thing. Your grades mo, it's not your ultimate thing. Your achievements are not the ultimate things. Exodus 20 was the Ten Commandments. It says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or in the earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth." So all around, no? Up, level, and down. Don't make them into gods. Don't worship any of those things. If you start worshiping and revering them, that's idolatry. "You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, and am jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." The covenant demands from Israel. And the image that we should have in our mind, "For you shall worship no other gods before me, for I'm a jealous God," it means a single-minded worship of God alone. Wala na ako ibang wina-worship kundi ang Diyos. You know, if you look at, this is fascinating because in the three texts in Exodus and Deuteronomy that mentions that I am a jealous God, it's all in the same context. Keywords. Pag makita nyo sa Old Testament yung word na jealous God, merong covenant, merong jealous, merong idolatry. Ibig sabihin, it is in the context of a covenant that I have a right to become jealous because you're worshiping other gods and you're not worshiping me. This picture is confirmed by verse 15 and 16. Kung sabi niya sa Israelites, and he used offensive word. He says, "Do not play harlot with the other gods. Don't be a prostitute. Don't prostitute yourselves before this God." You know what prostitutes do, right? When you get sick, a prostitute doesn't call you and say, "How are you?" Why? Because it's paid service. There's no romantic, biblical love emotion attached to having sex with a prostitute. God is saying, don't prostitute yourselves before other gods. They don't care about you. The kind of love that I have is so far from the kind of love or lust that they will give you. Don't commit adultery against God. Don't let your heart turn from Him and go after other things. For your God, your husband, His name is jealous. He is a jealous God. You know what we call that today? We call it, as a term, functional God. Ito yung mga Diyos-Diyosan natin na nagfa-function as the God in our life. Sabi dito, those of us who do know Him are often guilty of falling prey to the same deception, exchanging the truth of God for a lie, and worshiping and serving the Creator, the creature, rather than the Creator. This is what the world is today. Creation entices us to worship the things of this world. And Christians exchange the truth of God for a lie, for an empty promise. and goes there. And they get deceived. They exchange what God has in store for them for lie. Ano ba yung mga functional gods natin? Bigyan ko kayo example, ha? Mga functional gods na uso. Right? Pwedeng yung boyfriend, girlfriend mo, functional god yan. Yeah? Diba kaya nga minsan, na ano tayo, pagka may naririnig ka, yung boyfriend o yung fiance, sinasaktan ka na, walang plano sa'yo, di ka naman papakasalan, 80 years na kayo magkasama, umaasa ka pa rin, so, walang plano, di ba? Tapos, alam mo, wala na to. So, approach mo siya, di ba? Brother or sister, di ba? Wala na yan. Umalis ka na dyan. Di ba? Grabe. Sinisira na buhay mo niyan. Ano sabihin? Anong line palagi?
Hindi ko kaya. Wala nang ibang magmamahal sa akin.
It's true. Sad. You see the obvious. And they know the obvious. But they can't let go. Why? The boyfriend, the girlfriend is now the God. It functions as a God. And nobody will love me means God, your love is far lesser than the love my boyfriend gives. Because the love he gives hurts. And my motto is love hurts. Doesn't. Love protects, hopes, perseveres. That's the kind of love that God has. And you exchange it for a lie. And you believe it as truth. And you worship your boyfriend as an idol, as a god. Then when you get married, you want a divorce because you can't stand him. Because you think, yan na yon. Your spouse could be one. Nasawa ka, feeling mo, naka-jackpot ka. Buhay mo, sentro na sa misis mo. O sa mister mo. Wala ka nang ginawa, kundi kayo lang. It's you and me. And there's no world. It's just you and me. And everything revolves around the spouse. Sometimes it could be our kids. Been praying for a kid for the longest time and now it comes, you thank God and you forget about God. And you pour out everything on your kid, making your kid the functional God of your family, of your life. Could be money, achievements, financial status. Lungkot, no? Pagka ang goal mo lang sa buhay, magtatrabaho ako kasi gusto ko lang mag-provide sa pamilya ko. Which a lot of people, when you ask them, why do you work? It's just to provide for my family. What's your calling in life? To provide for my family. You earn millions. What's your goal? To provide for my family. You earn 10 million. To provide for my family. 30 million. To provide for my family. Grabe naman pamilya mo. Dami niyan, ha? Masyado ng inward, wala na. Wala ka na nakita. Bakit? Functional God mo na yung pamilya mo at saka yung status mo sa pamilya mo. Yun na yun. Never ka tumingin sa labas. Vanity today is a functional God. How many thousands do we spend just to look good for people who don't actually like you? Right? But you want to look good. Right? Why? It's a God today. It's a functional God. Could be anything. It could be even as trivial as dogs. Could be your God. Wala kami baby, kaya ito na lang, mga aso namin, ito mga anak namin. Madumi niyan. Lalagyan mo ng sapatos, may Jordan shoes, yung dog mo. Thousands ginagastos mo. Di mo nakita, ang daming mahirap na tao, walang sapatos. Oh. Bili ka ng bili, oh. Grabe, isang cabinet. Now, hindi ko sinasabi, makasalanan ng mga sapatos ng aso. Ah. Pero ang weird nyo. Okay. Okay. Pero ibig sabihin, okay nang isa, wag nang sobrang dami, tapos ang daming di ka naman tumutulong sa kapo. Bakit? Nakatingin ka na lang doon. Eh. Doon pumupunta yung pera mo, doon makikita saan na pupunta yung wallet mo, yun yung Diyos mo. Those are functional gods. Food can be a functional god. Alright. Nag-react. Okay. Really? I'm sad.
That's why I'm eating.
When you're happy, what do? I eat also. Okay. Patay tayo niyan. Tataba ka niyan. Why? It's become a functional god. Here's what John Piper said. And I want to read this to you because it's like when I read this, it brought me down to my, you know, to my, I needed to repent. I need a regular checkup of the functional gods that I tend to have. And repent of that and go back to God. He says, I urge you to listen to this warning. The jealousy of God for your undivided love and devotion will always have the last say. God's jealousy will always have the last say. Why? Because He's in a covenant with you. He has legal rights to be jealous. Whatever lures your affections away from God with deceptive attraction will come back to strip you bare and cut you into pieces. It's a horrifying thing to use your God-given life to commit adultery against the Almighty. But for those of you who have been truly united to Christ and who keeps your vows to forsake all others and cleave only to Him and live for His honor, for you, the jealousy of God is a great comfort and a great hope. Since God is infinitely jealous for the honor of His name, anything and anybody who threatens the good of His faithful wife will be opposed with divine omnipotence. Sa Tagalog. Hirap yung Tagalog to, ha? Okay? Sa Tagalog, yung jealousy ni God, pag ikaw committed ka kay Lord, the jealousy of God would work for you because anyone who dares hurt you, anyone who does injustice to you, will experience the wrath and the anger of God. That's what I'm saying when it comes to adultery. Alam ko, time's up na, no? Pero sabi ko, kakausapin ko yung mga adulterers dito. Alright? If you are unfaithful to your spouse, you know who your enemy is? Two. Your bienan, right? And God. You don't want to mess with God. You don't want to mess with that God. You break covenant with your wife is as the same as breaking covenant with God, because when you got married, you made a covenant with God to love your wife. And to be adulterous to your spouse will work against you. Not for you. What are the things that you're holding on to as functional gods? Yan yung prayer time nyo tonight. Lord, ano ba yung mga functional gods ko? Lord, ano ba yung mga Diyos-Diyosan ko? Let me end with Revelations 2. It says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. God was saying, make an inventory. Where are you? Layo ka na ba sa first love mo? Ba't ka nga ba na sa church? Love for God? Or dahil lang kailangan ko gawin to? He says, repent. And do what you did at first. Remember when you got saved? When you were crying? You know why? You know why, right? You're at the end of your rope. It's hopeless. Nobody loves me.
you experience the grace of God, and you start doing things out of your love for God. He says, repent and do the things you did at first. Go back to your first love. Can we just bow down our heads and pray? Jesus, we thank you because you are a jealous God. Thank you because your jealousy is not based on insecurity or fear or pride, but it's based on mercy, on love, on grace, concern. Lord, that you don't want us, Lord, to hold on to functional gods in our life and let it destroy us. Lord, you don't want functional gods to entice us with empty promises and make a fool out of us. That's how much you're concerned with us. Lord, I thank you because the time when we were so unlovely and nobody wanted us, when we were stiff-necked, wicked people, you said, I'll make a covenant with you written in the blood of Jesus when you died on the cross on that 2,000 years ago. Lord, I pray that you would expose the functional gods in our life and that we would repent, that we would come back to our first love. If you're here today and the message hit you, you know the Holy Spirit is convicting you because you've run away from your first love. The Holy Spirit is saying to you this afternoon, come back to your first love. Come back to me. I will show you wonders that the nations would even be surprised and they would see how awesome the Lord your God is. Do not run away. Do not let the sins of your fathers visit you from the third to the fourth generation. Don't let the consequences of living in sin destroy whatever inheritance you have in Christ. Come back to your first love. If that's what you're saying, I want to repent of my sin and I want to come back to my first love, can you just lift up your hands just as a sign of surrender before God? Thank you. Just lift up your hands. Say, that's me. Need to go back to my first love. Thank you, Jesus. I won't ask you to come forward. We don't have time anymore, but I want you to do something. After the service, we'll have our Victory group leaders here in front. We'll have some of our pastors here in front. We want to pray for you as you make this recommitment to come back to your first love. Some of you, the Spirit of God is speaking to you already. You're not lifting up your hands, but you know that you know that you know that the Spirit of God is convicting you of your sin. Come back. Come back to your first love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, because of your love. Thank you for the covenant that we have in Christ. Thank you for that one-way kind of love, that forever, never-ending, never-changing, unchanging love of God. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we worship you because of who you are, a holy, a jealous, and a just God who is loving, merciful, and gracious. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more messages like these from other Victory Centers, please visit victory.org.ph/resources/podcasts.